Good morning, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to our Sunday School Hour at Calvary Baptist Church of Treherne. Take your hymn books and turn to number 64. Number 64, The Name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is so sweet, I love its music to repeat. It makes my joys full and complete, the precious name of Jesus. Jesus, oh how sweet the name, Jesus, every day the same. Jesus, lift all saints proclaim, it's worthy praise forever. I love the name of him whose heart knows all my griefs and bears a part, who bids all anxious fears depart. I love the name of Jesus. Jesus, oh how sweet the name. Jesus, every day the same. Jesus, let all saints proclaim, it's worthy praise forever. That name I fondly love to hear, it never fails my heart to cheer. Its music drives the falling tear. Exalt the name of Jesus. Jesus, oh how sweet the name. Jesus, every day the same. Jesus, let all saints proclaim, it's worthy praise forever. No word of man can ever tell how sweet the name I love so well. Oh, let its praises ever swell. Oh, praise the name of Jesus. Jesus, oh, how sweet the name. Jesus, every day the same. Jesus, let all saints proclaim, it's worthy praise forever. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful this morning that we can be reminded of the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the name that is above all names, the name that is known by many people, even though for many people it's just a curse word. But we're thankful for the mercy and grace of thyself in being willing to forgive even those who curse the name of thy Son. We're thankful for that thief on the cross who went from cursing him to praising him and being saved through his name. We're thankful for those today who are listening to us who have been saved through the name of Jesus Christ, the blood that he shed on the cross of Calvary. We pray for others who may be listening that are not saved, that they might come to see their need to turn to thee in repentance and trust in the blood of thy Son alone to save them. We pray for those who walk past our building. They know we're here. They try not to look at our screen. But we pray, Father, that they would be convicted and come in and see their need to repent and be saved. We pray for those who have visited, pray that they might come again, that we could be a help to them, that we would be faithful in inviting people and reaching out to people, that people would know thy peace and blessing. We do pray for our Zoom meetings in the Philippines, that we can be a help there, that people would know the truth and be encouraged to walk in the truth. We ask that thy will be accomplished in the nation of Israel. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for Mr. Netanyahu, that he'd be saved. We do pray for the Americans who go there and try to convince Israel to surrender to its enemies. Pray for the salvation of those people, that they might realize the wickedness that's in their hearts. We do pray for the governments in both Canada and the United States, wicked governments. Pray for the salvation of many, that we'd be faithful in our witness and seek to help them and others to know the truth. Help us to have the boldness that we need and the faithfulness to thee, that we can be a help to others in these days of grace. May thy will be accomplished here today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Memory verse.
John 3, verse 21. But he that doeth truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God.
John 3, verse 21. But he that doeth truth come into the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are brought to in God. John 3, verse 21.
John 3, verse 21. But he that doeth truth cometh into the light, that his deeds may be manifested, that they are wrought in God. John 3, verse 21. But he that doeth the truth, comes to light. But he that his deeds were made manifested,
John 3:21. But he that doeth truth coming to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God.
Okay, the word wrought there means that they are, the word, we use that word to speak of manufacturing, being made, and being founded in. And so what this verse is telling us is that those who are saved, they're the ones that do truth. They come to the light. Where are we going to find the truth? Where are we going to find light? In Jesus. So the person that is doing truth wants to know more about God. So that's why Christians go to church on Sunday, because they want to know more about God. That's why they come to church when Bible study is on. They want to know more about God. Lost people, they try to avoid the truth because they're not interested in it. For next week, Matthew 11, verse 28. We may have memorized those verses. 28 to 30, we're going to go over those verses for the next 3 weeks. 11:28 for next week, yep. Good morning. So your verse is going to be in John's Gospel. We have a bent page here. We don't want bent pages in the Bible. Straighten that out. John chapter 6. chapter 6. And you have a bookmark here, so we're going to move your bookmark to John chapter 6. So there you go, Jeremy. Are you looking at me? Here's your verse. See where your bookmark is? That's where your verse is. Let me see which one it is here again. Verse 48, right there. That's your verse, Jeremy. That's your verse. Look, right here where my finger is. Can you read that?
That's crazy.
Your memory verse is, I am the bread of life. You know who said that? Jesus said that. And that's in John chapter 6. Say that. John chapter 6, verse 48. I am the bread of life. Okay.
Mark, this is the first time that the top of his head is showing. You can see he's growing.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
Yeah. I've never seen him at all, but now I can see just the top of his head. He's growing.
Okay, Abigail.
Oh.
Take two.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. So the world is trying to keep us on our toes, and they have been talking about it for a while, but it was in the news again today that you probably have heard that there's a new, so-called new virus that they have called monkeypox, mpox for short. It apparently comes from Africa, and there are two strains of it. And so the World Health Organization a while ago already declared that it is a world health emergency. And so Canada now is considering whether they need to force lockdowns again. So if Canada is doing that, we can be assured other countries will do the same. So that's going to restrict travel. And so those that are flying, you may end up getting stuck somewhere, because the government is intent on stopping us from moving around, and they're going to do whatever they can to stop us from moving, because they want us to only be able to listen to them and only believe what they tell us. Also in the news is that the head of Telegram, some of you maybe use Telegram, the head of Telegram was arrested in France. If he is convicted of what he's charged with, then he could spend, I think they said, 10 years in prison. Now, he's probably a wealthy man, and he probably will get out of the arrest. But we know that the world is trying to, Telegram is a platform that doesn't restrict much of anything. You can pretty well put on there whatever you want. And so the world doesn't want it to run, doesn't want it to operate. And so they're trying to shut it down. So one of the things that we are thankful with our website is that we're able to broadcast, but we understand that The world could eventually shut us down as well. We are not located in Canada. Our broadcast, our website is not located in Canada. We are, our church is, but we are broadcasting from another country, and we're doing that on purpose. We started that on purpose because even back then, when we started, the North American governments were already attacking websites, and so we went to another country where we hoped we would be freer to broadcast, and so far it has worked well. But we understand that the government could clamp down and stop all internet broadcasting except what they want. We know that when the Antichrist comes on the scene, everybody, the whole world that is here at that time, will witness the murder of the two witnesses in Jerusalem, and they will see their dead bodies laying in the streets of Jerusalem for 3 days. The world will see that. So there will be some kind of a way that the world will be able to see that, either through our present internet structure, or there will be something else that they will have. But the whole world will see it. That's what the Bible says. And so we understand that the world is going to continue to have a way to broadcast to everybody, but they're going to limit who can use that. During the Second World War, Hitler restricted his people from being able to communicate through the radio waves. And that's all they had back then. They didn't have everything we have today. And other countries today as well are restricting. China is restricting what their people can listen to and see. And Canada is trying to do that. They've tried to do that with the CBC. And they are funding the CBC with our tax dollars. And they want to shut down other avenues of broadcasting. So we need to continue to pray. But as I mentioned in the devotional this morning, it is important for Christians to wake up. There are Christians today who think that they don't need to have a good church. They can just sit at home and turn on the internet and pick and choose what they're going to listen to. And when you do that, you're never going to grow, because God wants you to be in a true church that's faithful to Him, where you can receive the whole counsel of God, and you're not going to do that when you're surfing the net. So there are people who are doing that, and that avenue could be removed. And what will you do then? I listened to talked to a man this week, a young man who was very excited about the church that he goes to. He couldn't tell me what they really believe, but he was excited about going there. He used to attend a more traditional church, and he went to this new one, and he likes it there. And he says that sometimes their pastor never even gets up to preach, because the people come there and they just want to share, and so the whole service is taken up with people sharing. And that's not how you build a true church. We need the Word of God. It's through the Word of God that we grow. You have an experience, I have an experience. We could spend lots of time sharing our experiences, but that's not how you grow. And first of all, we don't even know if my experience was real, if it's true, if it's biblical. So we need the Word of God. So when a church subjects itself to, well, if you want to share today, you can do that, and we'll be satisfied with that, that church can't grow. And so that young person is in trouble if he continues to go there. He will not grow. He will not know the truth. And when some other group comes along, he'll fall for it because he has no foundation. So we need the truth. And that's what we seek to do here. We spend most of our time in the Word of God because we want people to know the truth. So this morning we're continuing to look at the inspiration of the Word of God. And that is important. That is under attack, but it is something that we need to know. And if we don't have the inspired Word of God, we have nothing. And as we've been looking at in our Zoom meetings with the Filipinos in the Philippines, we have been looked at the New King James. We're looking now at the NIV. They are corruptions. They are not inspired. And people that think they are need to give their head a shake. You cannot have something that is inspired that says something different than something else that is inspired by the same author. God is not an author of confusion. That's man that causes confusion. That's the devil that is the author of confusion. And so we need to understand, while most Christians want to be politically correct and they want to give room for perversions to be accepted, we need to wake up and understand that God gave us his word and he preserved his word. And his word is truth, all of it. So when you have a book that contradicts itself, that's obviously not the word of God. So we've been looking at the inspiration of the scriptures, and we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you turn back there in your Bibles again. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And in verse 12, it tells us there, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." So how are we going to know the things that are, notice they're freely given? Now the Bible, it costs money to print a Bible. And so the Bible that I have, I paid for it. On the internet, you can still pick up, you can get free downloads on certain ones. The one that I'm using that I use as the audio Bible right now, it's King James, of course. But about every five verses, they stop, they interrupt, they interfere with the audio, and they try to get me to buy that app. And so far I'm not buying it. There are things about it that I like, but there are things about it that I don't like. And God's word should be free. And on the internet, it's not that expensive to put out God's word. If you're doing it on paper, yes, I understand. The printing press needs to be paid for. The ink needs to be paid for. The paper needs to be paid for, and so on. But on the internet, it's not that expensive. And so to try to commercialize the Word of God is not the way to go. And so in our text, we're reminded that God gave his Word freely. The apostles, the prophets, they didn't earn money by publishing the Word of God. They needed to live. In the Old Testament, the nation of Israel was to pay the Levites. They were to look after the prophets because they were chosen to be in the ministry. And in the New Testament as well, pastors are supposed to be paid by the people of God, but they don't go around saying, "I won't preach to you unless I get paid." They serve God and they trust God to provide. And that's God's design. Because God wants people to know the truth. He doesn't want people to use the excuse, it costs money to go to church, so I'm not going to go. We don't have an admission fee in our church. We don't even pass an offering plate. We do accept offerings from people, but we do it in a way that pleases God. And we want people to be able to come and to hear the truth. That's a greater concern to God and to us than that we make money off of it. So we have, it says in verse 12, the word we there is talking to the saints. First Corinthians is written to the saints. It tells us that in verse 2 of chapter 1, unto the church of God which is at Corinth. So again, we see here that the church at Corinth is called the church of God. But again, it's not a universal church. It's not talking to the church in general. There are men today who are busy. They're on the internet and they're elsewhere. And they keep talking about the church. There's a man in Ontario who is, I believe, a lost man. He believes he's an apostle. And there are no apostles. And he has been in the news a lot, especially during the Wuhan lockdowns. And he keeps talking about the church. I don't follow him, but I I listen or read what he has to say once in a while just to see what he's up to. But he keeps talking about the church in general. There's a man from Israel that I follow in regard to what's going on in Israel. I do not pay attention to his spiritual teaching because he's a heretic, I believe. But as far as the news from Israel, he has a lot of recent information, current information, and he has a lot of video to back up what he's saying. And so I follow him along with others, but he seems to have up-to-date information on what's going on in Israel. But he too, he talks about the church. He is a universal church man, and so he's not to be trusted. And yet there are other people who claim to be saved who follow these kinds of men, and they believe that there is one big church in the world. And they can't grow when you have that attitude, because you're not submitting yourself to a faithful church, first of all, and you are willing to accept teaching from all kinds of people with strange backgrounds. So here the Apostle Paul is addressing this letter to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ. So he's talking to saved people, sanctified in Christ, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. So in the last part of that verse, he talks about those in other places as well. So there was a church in Ephesus, there was a church in Philippi, there were churches in Galatia, and so on. So he's writing this letter primarily to the church of God in Corinth, but also to others, other saints in every place, wherever they were in their local churches. And the same Jesus is the Lord of all Christians. So that part is important as well to understand. So then we look here at our verse again in verse 12 of chapter 2. Now we have received, we being those saints, not the spirit of the world. So Christians were of the world, but we're not of the world anymore. We live in the world, but we're not of the world. And so we get our instructions from God. We have the Holy Spirit indwelling us, and we get our instruction from God. So, rather than of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. So that's who indwells us. That we might know. God wants us, Christians, to know the things that are freely given to us of God. That's the 66 books of the Bible. He wants us to know what's in there. And that's important that we have that. So it's freely given to us of God. And that's encouraging. That's a blessing to know that we can have the Word of God. Whether you're rich or poor, you have access to the Word of God. So again, people today, many of them are wasting their time and money going to casinos and buying lottery tickets and going to the golf course and all kinds of other places, trying to find some way to get rich, but they have no time and no interest in the things of God. Every once in a while I get some emails that they are asking for money, and they always compare the donations they're asking for to the price of a cup of coffee. And they say, for the price of a cup of coffee, you can subscribe to our letter. And of course, that's a daily price of a cup of coffee. That's not for one cup of coffee, but they want continuous money. So they're using gimmicks and they compare it to a cup of coffee. But the Word of God is our website. We don't charge for people to be able to click on our website. We do have a button there that people can donate if they choose to. But we make it available because we want people to know the truth. So then in verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 2, it says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. So the Apostle Paul, he didn't have a doctorate. He didn't have a master's degree. He hadn't gone to school to learn how to be an eloquent speaker. Apollos was much more eloquent in speaking than he was. But the Apostle Paul was trained by the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was speaking the words not of man's wisdom. And that's important as well. We're not trying to compete with some great human orator. There are courses that you can take. Dale Carnegie has a course you can take on speaking. There are other ones. I think the Rotary Club has courses you can take on public speaking. And those kinds of things may get you to get the ear, you'll be able to tickle the ears of the seekers who are not interested in truth. But what we need to know is God's word. We need to know how to expound the truth. And so it says in verse 13, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So that's what a good Bible teacher does. He gets to know the Bible so he can use a passage from one place to help to explain a passage from another place. When you read the Bible, you find that Jesus did that. He quoted from the book of Isaiah. He quoted from the Psalms. You find the Apostle Paul did the same thing. Now, God directed them, as we read here in this verse, that God directed Paul in his writing. And God still does that today for godly preachers and teachers. He helps us to be able to remember, oh yes, I remember another place where it said that, and so we have the luxury of having concordances. And we can even do searches now on our computers. And so we can find verses, if we can remember some words in that verse, we can find a verse. Then we can look at the context and see, does that verse fit with what I'm studying over here? Is it something that I can use as an illustration or as something to support what God says in another place? And of course, all of God's word fits together, but there are times when you can quote a certain verse that helps you to understand another passage. And so the Apostle Paul here talks about taking the words which the Holy Ghost teacheth. And when we do that, we can compare spiritual things with spiritual. And when we're doing that, we're not looking for mistakes, because there are none. It'd be a wasted effort to take the Word of God and study it looking for mistakes. And if you happen to come to a place and you think, well, this is a mistake, then you're in a bad place, because God said he would preserve his word. So there are no mistakes. We can have full confidence in the word of God. But again, as we've been studying and exposing the lies of the New King James as well as the NIV, they have mistakes, many intentional mistakes. They're not accidental. It's not like when I'm typing, I make mistakes sometimes. Sometimes I type a word, like this morning, in the devotional in 1 John chapter 1, the word keepeth is in there. But we don't use that word today, and so the computer changed that word. Even though I had spelt it right, keepeth, it changed it to keeper. And I didn't notice it right away, so I kept on typing and finished the devotional, and then I was going back over and proofreading it, and I saw that it had changed it to keeper. So I looked at the verse again, the word keeper is not there, the word keepeth is there. And so as I clicked on that word, it showed me that it had corrected it from keepeth to keeper. And so I clicked back on keepeth and put that word in the text. And then it puts a red line under it telling me it's not spelt right. Well, it is spelt right. It's what the Bible says. So we have to be careful in those things to try to be as accurate as we can be in what we're saying and what we're writing. So the Holy Spirit teaches the child of God. He helps us to see the truth and guides us in the truth. And then, as we mentioned, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. We're looking for how to understand what God says. And then we see further to that, in verse 14, what is the problem that keeps people from the truth? And it tells us there in verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. So here, Paul is still writing to the saints, but he's telling the saints that there are natural people, people who are not saved. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. So you can talk to a lost person about the Bible, and they won't accept it. Why not? Well, it tells us why not. It says, for they are foolishness unto him. So when the Bible talks about the new birth, that's foolishness to a man. How can a man be born again when he was old? Nicodemus asked Jesus. And so that was at that point foolishness to Nicodemus. Later on, it seems that Nicodemus received that truth, because he was one of the two men that came to take Jesus' body off the cross and prepare it for burial in the tomb. And so that's one of the reasons the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. In our world today, one of the things that I have taught for many years is the importance of modesty. Most women, and a lot of men, in fact, who claim to be Christians, think that modesty is foolishness. It's a waste of time to talk about modesty. We have a right to wear what we want to wear. We don't have to be told what to wear. And some, one person likes this fashion, another person likes that fashion. It doesn't matter. And it does matter. But the world says it doesn't matter. And there are a lot of professing Christians who are ignorant of the truth because they choose to be, not because they can't know. And so it's foolishness to them, and they get offended when you tell them the truth. And then it says, not only is it foolishness, but it says, neither can they know them because they are spiritually discerned. So when a person continues to fight against the truth, why is he fighting? Because the truth is spiritually discerned, and the natural man does not have the Holy Spirit indwelling him. So he can't receive it. Not can't because God won't let him, but can't because he won't let God convince him of the truth. That's the problem. So that's the problem that we face in the world in which we live, and it's quite a big issue, quite a big problem. Most people are lost, and so they don't receive the truth. So then in verse 15, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things. So again, you know, the people who turn to Matthew chapter 7 and say we're not supposed to judge, they should read their whole Bible. Because here it says, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. So you can't have it both ways. So when you look at Matthew chapter 7, Jesus isn't saying we shouldn't judge. He said we shouldn't be hypocritical in our judgment. That's what he's talking about. And most people never bother to read that. They just read verse 1 and say, look, it says here, don't judge. Yeah, read on. What's it talking about? And so the spiritual man judgeth all things. So when we hear something, when we read something, we judge it. What do we judge it by? We judge it by the Word of God. That's why I mentioned to you that there are several men that I read on sometimes to see what they're doing, what they're saying. And how do I judge them? Why have I determined that I'm not going to accept their Bible teaching? Because I've judged them by the Word of God. They don't meet the standard. They don't meet God's standard. So therefore, why would I want to pollute my mind with things that God doesn't want me to have in there? So I don't listen to them. I don't read their biblical teachings. I'm not interested in being deceived. So the spiritual man, he judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. So if you want to criticize me, go ahead, have at it. But unless you can take the Bible and show me that I'm teaching you wrong from the Bible, I'm not going to accept it. And in my years as a pastor, there have been churches that have judged me in a humanistic manner. They have said they don't like what I'm teaching, but they can't show me from the Bible that it's wrong. But they said, we don't want you here. Well, okay, that's your choice. And so I've moved on. And none of those places have benefited by kicking me out. I'm not saying that I'm the only godly pastor around, but when God puts a man in a place, God will also remove that man in his time. And when a group decides, we don't want you here, and they don't follow God's direction, they are punished by God. And as I think of the last church that I pastored, it's been now, I think, 7 or 8 years, they still don't have a pastor. That tells you something. So God is not pleased when people rebel against him, especially people that claim to know him. And people that claim to know him, they are being watched by people who don't know him. So that church is being watched by the community it's in, and the community that it's in knows what happened there, and they are judging that group even to this day, and God certainly is as well. So it's important for us to understand that we need to follow God's direction. We need to be humble servants of his, and we need to understand that we can know the truth if we are saved. We have discernment. So in verse 16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So who is going to tell God what to do? Nobody. Did Jesus ever tell his Father what to do? No. He said, I came to do my Father's will. He always did that which pleased his Father. So if Jesus, being the Son of God, didn't tell his Father what to do, what right do you and I, as mere mortal human beings, have a right to tell God what to do? To tell God what's right and what's not right. So again, as we look at our world today and we look at new evangelicalism, we look at the emergent church movement, and we see groups, many groups, that are trying to tell God what to do. And it doesn't work. But the Apostle Paul is directed here to tell us in the last phrase of verse 16, but we have the mind of Christ. So in the fact that we are saved, we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. We can think in biblical terms. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, Philippians chapter 2. We can think like Jesus thinks when we take the Bible as our authority, when we are led by the Holy Spirit, and we will speak the truth and we will make wise decisions. So it doesn't mean we become little gods. It simply means that we are being trained by the Word of God. One of the things that we can see by observation is we can see that a person becomes like the people he hangs around with. You look at a husband and wife. You find that over years, a husband and wife, if they are working as a husband and wife should, if they love one another as they ought to, they begin to think more in sync than they did when they first got married. They think more along the same lines because they're being influenced by one another. And they become more like one, like they're supposed to be. You see that in a family where the children love the parents, you see that the children will start to repeat when they get older. They'll say things that they heard daddy or mommy say. Why? Because they're being influenced by them. Now, our society tries to tell us that Christian education is bad because it's like a greenhouse effect where your children are never exposed to the world. But they never talk about the secular educational system, which is poisonous greenhouse effect because the people there are exposed to the world but never to the truth. So which is worse? I'd rather be exposed to the truth, which is good, than to be exposed to the lie and never have access to the truth. So our world is fighting a losing battle, but they think they're going to win, but they're not. And the important thing is that we do have the mind of Christ if we're saved. And the reason we can have that is because we have an inspired book. We have the Word of God. It's powerful and it is true. So we can have confidence in it and we can help others to know the truth as well. So we're out of time. We're going to stop there and we'll just close with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again this morning that we have Thy Word, the truth. Thankful that we can know the truth and we can be forgiven, we can be saved. And we pray for each one that's listening today that each one would see the importance of Thy Word, the importance of submitting to Thy Word and knowing Thy peace and blessing. May Thy will be accomplished here. We pray for others that they would come and join us for the preaching hour, that we can be a help to others to know Thy peace and blessing as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.